You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, family. It's time for us to get into our conversation now with Busi, the therapist, who's going to be speaking to us about mental health and physical wellness. Of course, we know that the two are intricately connected. We can't separate the one from the other. And so that is what our conversation is going to be covering today, how the two affect each other and how we can improve our mental health by focusing or paying more attention to our physical wellness as well. Busi, the therapist. Good morning, my sister. Thank you so much for joining us once again on the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you doing this morning?
I am great. I cannot complain.
All right. Happy to hear that. We are in the middle of the week and time for another mental health check-in, a mental health chat here for us here on the Mid-Morning Empowerment. And this is an interesting one. I know that this should be common sense at this point. I mean, everyone talks about how taking care of our physical bodies, taking care of our health will also impact mental health. How exactly does regular exercise influence mental health?
So first of all, we work with the mind when we exercise, because you tell yourself, I need to do this, I should do this, I can do this. Mm. I doubt there's anybody that just go in and just do anything difficult without even having that kind of a conversation that I can achieve this. If I put my mind at it, if I constantly do it, if I am consistent. Mm. So now when it comes to mental health, I always tell people mental health, it's what is in your mind. Uh-huh. The way you think about yourself, mm-hmm. the way you feel about yourself, the way you act starts from how you are thinking about it.
Right.
So now when we exercise, it means that we are dealing with our mindset to say, I can do this. Mm. And then the benefits of the body, or the results of the body, or the results of your healthy lifestyle, when you wake up and you feel happy, when you wake up and you feel fresh, when you wake up and you look at yourself in the mirror and you're like, oh, but I look good.
Yes.
It's now you are training your mind to say, I am actually a good person.
Mm.
So yeah, that's my beautiful explanation of saying it's got to do with the brain and the mind. Mm-hmm. And now when you exercise, when you use your body, you're literally training your mind to say, I'm okay, I'm good, I can do anything.
But you know, one thing that's always kind of baffled me a little bit, though, is the fact that regular exercise can help me feel good about myself. But at the same time, mm-hmm. when I feel bad about myself, when my mental health is not where it should be, that makes it even more difficult to exercise. So it's like the energy feeds off itself. They feed off each other.
Yes.
The mental and the physical feed off each other. So when my mental is not well, I know I need to exercise, but I can't because my mental is not well. So how, I don't know how we balance, yes. that. How then do I just force myself so that,
yeah.
I can then feel good? How does that work?
And that's everybody's problem, not just one person. You literally feel so drained to do anything. You'll rather take an option of watching television.
Yeah.
You'd rather take an option of watching a series than to do the hard thing. So they always say, I'm a runner. I don't know if you are aware of that.
Okay.
I run long distance, your marathons, 21, 42.
Yo.
I'm now currently training for a 50, hoping to qualify so that I can run the Comrades in June, which is 90 something kilometers. So
wow.
the body is the one that tells you you are not going to do it. So as runners would always say, the best day to run is when you don't feel like running.
Mm.
When your mind and your body says, don't go exercise, the best workout is when you say, okay, I don't feel like it. Let me get onto my shorts and hit the gym. Mm. Even if I walk on the treadmill, even if I just swim, even if I just stretch my body, you know, or do cardio, that becomes the best workout ever because you go against the mind.
Wow.
You go against the mental health because the mental health is saying, take your chocolate, take your comfort food, sit and watch television. Now, when you go against that to say, okay, I will take the chocolates, but let me first start there by the gym so that I can come back and eat the chocolate
later
on a healthy body. So the best time to work around that mental space is when your body is really telling you, do not do this. You are going through the most. Rather say, I will take a walk because I'm going through the most.
Yeah.
So you're going against it.
Gosiam, that'll be every day for some of us.
Yeah. Handstands, even if it's just a walk,
yes,
because the little that you start is showing that you're getting out of that mindset to say, I'm tired of these four walls.
Yeah.
I'm not okay. But let me just take a walk and put on my music and worship.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Just walk. So that on its own is exercising. That's what people don't understand.
Yes.
A walk is exercising. I made my parents to walk. Walk, guys, walk.
I like that.
Because
I like
that's
that.
A form of an exercise. It doesn't have to be intense. It doesn't have to be so hard.
Not a punishment.
It's the effort. Yeah, not a punishment. It's the effort.
I like that. And the way you're putting it like that, it really is self-care. It's a form of self-care. It's not a punishment.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to, it only challenges you or drains you if that's what you desire. Because there are people who, I mean, if I didn't sweat, I didn't work out. So it depends on what your level is. But as long as you're taking care of yourself. And honestly speaking, if we're being honest, we know that the option B, the eating the chocolate and watch that series, binging on some kind of series. We've tried it before and it didn't help us.
It did not. After that series finish, you look at your to-do list and you're like, oh my goodness.
Exactly. Exactly. So maybe it's time to try something different. Yeah, I think that's beautiful. Now, what about the diet then? How does the diet come into this? How do our dietary habits boost our mental well-being?
I think something that I've missed, you need to set a goal into everything that you do.
Okay.
If there's no goal, it is as easy as it didn't happen because there's no achievement or there's no ticking of a box.
Mm.
So I said to my sister, she just gave birth, and I said to her, do 5 kilometers for 5 days for 5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Just tell your mind, I need to start 5 kilometers, whether walk or jog or run,
mm-hmm.
5 days for 5 weeks. Stick to that. And then that goal will be saying, I did 5 times 5 times 5. Wow, congratulations on me.
Nice.
So there's a goal.
Nice.
Now, it also comes to the diet as well. If you're dieting, you're going to end up taking any other diet.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got this thing that we call a mental block.
Mm-hmm.
So a mental block means that your mental state is blocked into accepting anything that comes into your body, be it food, be it exercising, be it trying to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
It just blocks it off.
Uh-oh.
You won't get the results because mentally you are like locked in one space. So when you have a goal or a vision or something that you are setting up, you are trying to release the block into the brain
mm-hmm.
to say, I want to see a quick fix.
Okay.
I want to see results by tomorrow. I want to see myself happy. And Onjabulo, I call myself Onjabulo when I run. I'm like, hey, Onjabulo is just, you know, because when I look at my race pictures, every time I run a race, I am so smiling.
All
I'm like, I, you know, all my race pictures, I want to buy all of them if they sell them because every kilometer Busi is smiling. And so hence I'm like, Unonjabulo guys is on the road because there's some joy that comes out of it.
Yeah.
So that motivation of saying, I know the happiness that I get when I'm on the road. So there's an intention, there is a goal that you set, and then there's a reason of why you are doing this journey.
Mm.
So if you're doing a nice diet, it should not be just a diet to say, I want to shed off weight. It must be saying, I think we Christians, I always go back to this word. People laugh at me. I'm like, guys, we sang this, my body is the Lord's temple.
Yeah.
Don't mess with me. It's God's property.
Yes.
You know, there's a song like that. I don't know if you know that song. And I'll always say, you know, in Corinthians, they did say that your body is the Lord's temple, meaning what you feed your body, it's you are praising God with it. Because we are residents here, we are renting, it's not our body.
Mm-hmm.
So when you set up a proper diet for your body, it means that you are praising God with your body to say, I'm respecting what you've given me.
Mm-hmm.
People don't just wake up and say, I'm going to do a cabbage diet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It must be a lifestyle
because
you are dealing with a mental state of saying, this is a journey, this is my life.
Sure. So interesting how they're so tied together, because a lot of times when you find those people talking about the cabbage soup diet or this diet or that diet, it's not focusing on mental health at all. It's all about whether it's someone who's trying to lose weight or gain weight or whatever it might be. We don't really pay attention to how that might affect one's mental state as well. So, wow, very interesting.
Now, and just to add on,
if
it doesn't happen, it takes you down.
Hey.
If that weight doesn't happen
exactly.
in the weeks or two or three, you that mental block I was telling you about, it comes in and you realize that I'm actually not okay. Why am I even doing this? I'll never try this ever again, because you are now not focusing on how is this affecting me as a person. Am I happy when I do this? Do I wake up and I feel fresh? Do I feel excited when I open my laptop and work?
Am I energized? And that's why I like the kind of goals that you're talking about here. Just say, I'm going to run 5 times a week. I'm going to do this many Ks, and I'm going to do this for 5 weeks. That's something that I can control. That's something that is, that's my decision. I can't control what the results are going to be. I can't control how much weight I lose or how much weight I gain if I eat this or lift this heavy or whatever. All those things, I can't control the outcome, but I can control how many times I do it. I can control, you know, my schedule and things like that. So I think that's a beautiful way of goal setting, by setting goals of things that are actually within your control.
Yeah. And the results, they also, they surprise you because you are not intentionally waiting for results.
Exactly. Your mind is
you see yourself smile. Yes, you see yourself smiling every day, only to find out that those pants that you wanted to wear are fitting. You see yourself smiling every day because now your skin is glowing. You see yourself being a happy person because you wake up with, my day is going to be good today I started with walking. So if you walk in the morning, I always ask people, do you run in the morning and come back and take off your running clothes and get into blankets and sleep? Chances are immediately when you get inside your house, you do a shake, you do a meal, you start dressing up, already your brain is functioning to I'm in a working mode. Even on a Saturday, if you wake up and you run or jog or go on a hike or go on a park run, you come back, you don't sleep.
You're ready for the day.
Active mode. Exactly.
Love it.
That's mental health. Yeah.
Beautiful. Now, how can chronic illnesses impact a person's mental health?
Sure. You see, this one is very hectic because immediately when you hear that you're chronically ill with something, your mind takes you to the worst last case scenario that I would never be myself ever again. Nobody would ever see me the same way or myself before people. I don't see myself the same ever again. I don't think I'll ever function the way I did before or see myself as confident as I was before. And these chronic illnesses, they differ from everybody. And now when you go to the last episode of your life of closing it down to say, shut, now I'm the worst case scenario, your actions becomes the last episode. Your movements becomes the last episode. Your connection, communication, how you interact with people, how you show up at work, already your brain and your mind has connected you to the last episode to say it's the end. So when we get any chronic illness, the first thing in mind should be that question to say, okay, and then is it the end of it? What is it that I can now sleep into? How to manage this? How to control this? How to work around this? Who am I? You know, who is this person that's living with this? Am I allowing myself to be defined by my chronic illness, or am I allowing myself to define myself according to what God is saying about me? Because he said, I'm still going to live. So he did not say you're going to wake up tomorrow and you are no more, or your life has stopped, or you can't get married, or no kids, or whatever. We are the one that defines those things. Oh my goodness, I've got a chronic illness. I wouldn't want to put someone into my life because it's a burden. It's this, it's that. So already, chronic illnesses and mental health, they can shut you so down that you close your life whilst you are alive.
That's very, I can imagine it almost becomes your identity.
So becomes your identity.
You're no longer going, you are diabetic, you are HIV positive, you are cancer patient, whatever. You almost take that on as your identity. And that's so unfortunate. Like the way you're putting it as a final episode, that's heavy. That's really heavy.
Remember, final episode, there's nothing, there's no return. If you're watching a movie and it's a final episode, you literally sit there and you're like, oh goodness, it's done.
It's over.
And you're looking at, it could have, if they can bring this, if they can, but already your mind is like, oh, it's over. There's nothing else that I can do. It's too late. So how we change our cognitive when we are facing a reality check in front of us, it's very important because the cognitive sense tells you what to do tomorrow.
Yeah.
But then if you allow a negative thinking, I always say what you think affects the way you react and affects the way you act. So if you think negative, you react negative and you act negative and the results are negative.
Very true. Very true. And then sleep is another one. How does sleep, help us maintaining our mental health? This one is an interesting question because I hear mental health experts talking about how if someone sleeps too much, then there's a problem. Or if they're getting too little sleep, it's a problem. So it's hard sometimes to tell what exactly, how sleep affects our mental health and how much is enough, how much is too much or too little and things like that.
Listen, when I started running, I attended a webinar and then this white guy called Larry said, our phones must be blank. You must have a blank hour before you sleep.
Okay.
And I'm like, what do you mean a blank hour? He says, no phones, no light, no TV, nothing. And then you are having a blank moment to prepare your mind and your body to sleep. So if you are sleeping in your bed with your phone and then you switch it off and you put it next to you and then you say you are asleep, there's a whole hour. There's a whole hour that you've wasted of you not sleeping, not resting.
Sure.
So that whole blank hour is a resting hour before you start sleeping. And those are just small things to show that in order for you to wake up tomorrow feeling energized and okay is because you even had a blank hour before the sleeping of you sleeping completely. Now, when you don't rest, you wake up and you are anxious, you wake up and you feel tired, you wake up and you feel, you feel agitated because your body has not fully recovered to say I've rested. It's very important to rest because you're going to have a long day. Be it a long day of sitting and watching TV, it is a long day because you are using something.
Sure.
So when you sleep, it means that you are energy, you are charging your body. I know I'm a Garmin watch kind of person. You know those watch that will tell you are drained, you're not drained.
Yeah.
And when you sleep with it, it wakes up and says, Busi, you didn't sleep well because you slept at 3 a.m. So when you wake up at 6, my watch will be like, no, you are drained. Okay. Literally, if I try to run, I feel so tired because already my body had not charged. So sleeping is charging your body. Now, we need to be cognitive of the fact that charging your phone is important. If you don't charge it, it's going to die.
True.
Same as sleeping. You are charging your body. You are charging your mind. You are charging your thoughts. You are charging everything so that when you wake up, you don't die.
I like that.
Now, if you ignore your battery and it's flat, like, no, I still got time. We know what happens with I still got time on our phones.
Yep. It's true.
You'll be getting a very important call and then it just goes...
gone. I really like that analogy because the funny thing is that when it comes to our phones, we're very vigilant.
Especially, oh my goodness, we have charges.
During those days of load shedding, you had to make sure that your things stay fully charged at all times because you never know when you're going to
invested in power banks.
Yes.
We invested in solar energizer banks and all of that because we knew that when it's shut, I cannot function.
I can't function.
Now that's the importance of the body, because if it shuts, you won't function. If it shuts down, your brain won't function. If your body shuts down and says, I am tired because I'm working too hard, you are literally shutting yourself to say you can't function.
And just like you're saying about the phone, that the phone doesn't care if it's on 10% and an important call comes through, it can't extend and say, okay, wait, this one is really important. If it's 10%, it's 10%, and it's going to go flat. And it's the same with our bodies. Our bodies are not going to miraculously wake themselves up because it's an emergency or something has come up and now I need that energy. No, if you don't have the power, you don't have the power. And that's interesting. Now, what are some practical steps maybe that you can share with us that people can take to align their physical and mental wellness?
So, first of all, I always tell my clients that if you don't put a goal into your life and stick to it, it mustn't be hard. I once started a journey with Nkanyiso Bengu where we were walking with Nkanyiso. And I said to him, it does not matter how long it takes, as long as you are healthy and you are walking for the rest of your life. That's what's important because it's a lifestyle.
Yeah.
So anything that you do needs to be a lifestyle. Mental health check-ins are a lifestyle. They're not a panic mode.
Yeah.
It's a lifestyle. Eating healthy, it's a lifestyle. Someone said, we are making diets a big thing. They're diets are the reality of life. That's what we should be consuming our body with. And eating junk should not be what we're consuming. So now we're making it like a big thing when we're eating junk. Mm-hmm. It's good, it's good. And then I'm fasting or I'm going on a diet. No, it's a normal life. That's how we should be living as people. That's what we should be putting in our body. So the tips that I'll give everybody listening right now is that, first of all, you must understand what do you want to achieve with yourself? Mm-hmm. How do you feel? I always take people back to say, how do you feel when you were once a slender or once a healthy, happy person? Mm-hmm. And people will go back, oh, my confidence, oh, the way I used to wear my heels, oh, my suits used to fit in, you know? And then I'm like, how do you feel now? So why are you not going back to the mind that you had before and the feelings that you had before of how you felt and looked mm-hmm. when you were in that position? Mm-hmm. Remind yourself how you were before, go back to that state and never lose it.
Mm. I love that. It goes back to what you were saying earlier. Those are the things that are in your control. They're decisions that you are making. It comes down to self-care. It comes down to making goals, setting goals that are within your control, within your ability. And like you said, fighting against what your mind has consistently told you to do, which is to just to sleep or go and watch that series or go and do this, things which we've tried before and they have not brought us the joy that we're looking for. So you go, you know, I have to go against that thing. I've tried it. It doesn't work. So I must go against it, even when I don't feel like it, because at the end of the day, that's going to bring me a step closer to where I'm trying to go. How would you summarize this conversation and maybe some key points that all our listeners can take home for our physical wellness in its relation to our mental well-being?
Summarize it, self-love. Mm-hmm. And my clients always like, what do you mean about self-love, Busi? Mm-hmm. I thought I've loved myself for such a long time. And I said, if you loved yourself, you would have never allowed yourself to go in a panic mode. Mm. If you loved yourself, you would have never allowed yourself to have depression or be in a depression state. If you loved yourself, you would never be stressing about things that needs you to be practical. So self-love says that I'm going to wake up and love me and care about me and be selfish about my cup so that I don't allow it to be so empty. Now, when I need it to be filled, it's so difficult to even find the water to fill my cup. I need to constantly making sure that I'm filling myself in for the times of drought. I'm already filled so that whatever that may take, it doesn't take from what's not there. So self-love says me first, my happiness first, my joy first, my beauty first, me being handsome first. Mm-hmm. You know, I come first, my confidence, my, you know, everything about me comes first so that I can give you better what you want. Love locates somebody that loves themselves. Happiness locates somebody who's in a happy space. Joy locates somebody who's a joyful person. But joy will never locate you in your sad moment in space. So self-love says me first, about me first. If I'm running, I'm doing it for me. I will not forget why I do it. If I'm singing and dancing, I'm doing it for me. I will not forget how it makes me feel. It's about you.
Beautiful. Love that. A beautiful way to end our conversation. Thank you so much, Busi, for coming through. God bless you. And until the next time we chat, I hope you have a lovely, lovely day.
Thank you so much. Same to you.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.